Last month, President Obama visited Cuba, furthering the normalization of relations between the two countries. There's been a lot of talk about political exchanges, but cultural ones are starting to happen as well. And the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix is taking part. MIM is expanding its Cuba exhibit, and here to talk about it is Daniel Piper, curator for Latin America and the Caribbean. Hi, Daniel.
Great to be here, Mark.
So how exactly is MIM expanding its Cuba collection?
Sure. So we have a space for every country in the world in the museum. I spent two trips to Cuba in 2015, working with a number of institutions, a lot of great artists there, brought back a number of historic, culturally important instruments. Now the exhibit has about 50 instruments or so. There's a lot of video, photography, text. It's really something that's very unique, probably the largest and most diverse collection within the United States.
Was it harder before the thawing of relations to get instruments from Cuba and maybe to hear from artists in that country?
I would say it's really actually has not. It's always been difficult. I don't believe it's changed too much, except there's more of a consciousness and an interest in Cuba. Working last year, there was a lot of each and every instrument required sort of a high level official signature to bring out of the country. So it was quite a project.
Well, so how does the Cuba collection as it is now compare to other Latin American Caribbean countries exhibits that you have at MIM?
Sure. Well, we have our collection as a whole, for the museum is about 15,000 objects. There's maybe about 6,500 on display at any one time. So we do have, a good display representative for each of the Latin American countries. I would say this exhibit is really now kind of the star exhibit for Latin America. And it's very important because Cuba has had such an impact musically on the rest of the world, on the rest of Latin America, and also in terms of relations with American jazz and of course salsa, which is really came out of New York, but is it based on Cuban music originally?
Yeah, how would you describe Cuban music? I mean, we heard some up-tempo music at the beginning. I think that's sort of when people think about Cuban music, that's kind of what comes to mind. But I would imagine that it's fairly varied.
Sure. There's a great variety of music. Cuba, on the one hand, is known around the world for maintaining, traditions from Africa. So there's a number of sort of ritual drumming and singing traditions. Some people may have heard of the word Santeria, which is a type of Afro-Cuban religion, some fantastic music associated with that. But then there's, music ranging from rumba, which is sort of a street festive type of dance music. Then you have son, which if a lot of people may have heard of, for example, the Buena Vista Social Club, which is a revival of that sound of son music from the 1930s. But there's a whole range, and there's some fantastic Cuban jazz, and a lot of the top Latin jazz artists touring the world today are Cuban players.
Have you found that visitors to MIM and maybe just music enthusiasts in general are becoming more aware of Cuban music and Cuban musical history now that the two countries are beginning to talk again?
There's certainly a lot of interest, and there's more. When I was in Cuba last year, there was definitely an upswing of American visitors. There's also a lot of cultural tours happening there. At the time when I was there in December with the Havana Jazz Festival, there was a group of a number of Americans for that. So there's a curiosity, and it really kind of harkens back to a time, before the Cuban Revolution, when Cuban music was popular around the world, and recordings of rumba and son and in the Latin, the dance bands from the 50s were known throughout Latin America and the United States. And then it's kind of been in some ways forgotten, the specific artists.
Well, did Cuban music evolve much during the time of the revolution and when Americans didn't have as easy access to Cuba?
Sure. It's interesting because people think, of Cuba as a place where time has, stood still.
Yeah.
I mean, you go and you think of the buildings in Havana or the old cars.
Yeah.
Cubans continue to be very curious, were constantly, whatever way they possibly could, were listening to and absorbing and integrating music from the United States and other parts in Mexico and other parts of the world into their own music. So, if you listen to Cuban salsa, for example, which they call timba, marimba, you know, has a very different kind of rhythm and sound to it than salsa coming out of the United States or Venezuela. You know, other Cuban rock and jazz and other genres have evolved, sure.
So did Cuban musicians take more influence from American and other musicians during that time? I would imagine they did, because we didn't really hear much of it because we couldn't get access to it, right?
Exactly. There's been more influence of American music in Cuba since the revolution than the other way around. But, you know, the interplay, the influence has been there early, you know, from the 1920s. There was a very strong influence between, you know, U.S. jazz and Cuban music. And that's a big part of the story. You know, Dizzy Gillespie, for example, you know, what is Latin jazz today? This, you know, American trumpet player back in the 40s, you know, was playing with Cuban players in New York. He also traveled to Havana, and there was a you know, very rich kind of creative, you know, exchange there.
So we played some Cuban music earlier. We have another piece here. Let's hear this piece right now. So in that piece, we heard some very prominent drumming, and you actually brought a drum. You brought some show and tell here. Unfortunately, it's the radio, but I'm not going to ask you to play it. But is this sort of a common type of Cuban instrument that we might see if we see a music performance there?
Yeah, actually, the piece you just heard, which was a rumba group, one of their most famous ones, Los Muñequitos de Matanzas, and we have four original pieces from that group. One of the instruments they play is a cajon. You might have heard of like a cajon, like a box drum, right? But the Cuban cajon they play for rumba is different because it has this, you know, sort of tapered shape. And you play the top surface like you would a conga, you know, a typical kind of Latin drum. But it's amazing because it's, you know, they make it from everyday materials, like even, you know, wood from furniture parts. So it's a very kind of homegrown instrument, but it's amazing what the players can do with it. So.
And that looks pretty solid. That's not like balsa wood on top. That's like real hardwood on top, right?
The one I brought in here, so this, even though this instrument was made in Cuba, right, it's inspired drum makers in the United States. So this is actually manufactured by a U.S.-based percussion company called Soul Percussion, who make, you know, congas, they make timbales, but they also make the Cuban cajon.
Do you think that now that the U.S. and Cuba are normalizing their relations, I mean, do you expect to see more Cuban music influencing American music and music from other parts of the world as well, like maybe we saw before the revolution?
I believe gradually we will. And there's certainly, you know, more Cuban artists today that are, you know, able to travel. And there's more artists that are touring. And, you know, many of them are very close colleagues with, you know, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Venezuelan, and also, you know, other U.S. Latino artists. So it's, you know, time will tell, but I certainly hope so.
Is there something that you do not have in the Cuba collection right now at MIM that you would just love to get your hands on?
The first group that we heard is named Los Bamban, and this is Cuba's kind of most famous salsa group for the last 50 years or so. I have been talking with the founder of the group, passed away about a year ago. I've been talking with the two sons who currently lead the group, and they're in the process of recollecting historic instruments from the 60s when this group started, very, very important group, and yes, we would love to have, you know, one of Juan Fornamel's basses.
Daniel Piper is curator for Latin America and the Caribbean at the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix. Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you.